The perennial plate duo, Chef Daniel Klein and camerawoman Mira Fine, traveled the planet, finding their way into home kitchens, onto farms and fishing boats, into fields and plantations, and reporting on what is happening in the global food scene. They covered 12 countries in 18 months, and they join us here to report. Mira, Daniel, good to have you back.
So good to be back.
Great to be back.
Where have you been?
So we just came back from South Africa. And we spent 2 weeks there, traveling from the north to the south, filming stories.
It's just a gorgeous country with every sort of landscape. It's incredible. Going to South Africa, we really wanted to represent the diversity of South Africa. It's a country that is full of stark contrasts. Wealthy people, poor people. It's very divided and difficult to navigate country. And so we wanted to share a bunch of different perspectives, from the poor townships to wine country, to village life. We wanted to show a lot of the different perspectives. So we ended up filming 4 or 5 stories, which is more than we usually do.
Uh-huh.
One story that stands out is we were in wine country in Stellenbosch, which is about an hour outside of Cape Town. And we filmed this biodynamic farmer and winemaker, Johan Reinecke, who also was a former pro surfer, or semi-pro surfer, actually. So we started out the filming surfing with him.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we were like, oh, we get to go surfing? That sounds great. So we started off early in the morning and drove up the west coast of South Africa. Just beautiful coastline, kind of like Big Sur.
Oh.
And you're looking over the edge of the cliff and you see whales and dolphins and all this wildlife down below. And we hired, for the first time, an extra cameraman who was an underwater cameraman, like a professional surfing cameraman. But so they have shark spotters, because there's a lot of sharks in South Africa. So they up on the cliff, they have a guy who sits there all day and just watches for sharks. And while they were in the water, and while I was just going into the water, they spotted a 3-meter long shark. And so we all had to like
run out of the water. That's 9 feet.
Yeah, that's a 9-foot shark.
2 meters away from our guy.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. So our winemaker almost got eaten by a shark.
This is not a good thing. So what made him so interesting to you?
I mean, obviously, there was this surfing bent, but I think the biodynamic thing is really interesting for us, and he had a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, I haven't understood it for a very long time, and I've met with other biodynamic farmers before. How he explained it to us was, he said, if I had a piece of paper that I wanted to get rid of, I could either throw it away in the garbage can, and that would be waste, or if I was a sustainable farmer, I could recycle it. But if I'm a biodynamic farmer, I put it through a shredder, feed that to my earthworm farm, and then take those earthworms and put those back into the soil. So it's like a holistic way to view your farm as like one being. You know, nothing dies and just goes away. It dies to bring life to something else on the farm. So if you look at, you know, the weeds are not just weeds. They're there for a reason, to keep away a type of bug or to help something else grow or to shade something else on the farm.
So what kind of wines does he make?
He has a number of different grapes, so he's not committed to one varietal. There is the famous wine in South Africa, which is Pinotage, so he grows that, but he also does a Sauvignon Blanc. But he's someone who takes these grapes, does not put any extra things to help ferment it. He used the natural yeast on the grapes, no chemicals, no nothing. So it's just grapes and thyme. He's doing his wine in a completely natural way, and he also he's really proud of his staff and kind of takes them in a similar way. And he introduced us to each member of the staff and shared what their value to his farm was with us.
Uh-huh.
So he's taking the best of what each thing has to offer.
Including the people.
And he really strayed away from, you know, there is the moon cycle related to biodynamic farming. And there's the thing like putting quartz in the horn of a cow. And he was like, that's part of biodynamic farming. But really what it's about is this interplay with the ecosystem.
The other interesting thing about him was that he started out as a farm worker, which is very unusual in that area. He's Afrikaner, which means his family is originally Dutch years back. And so when he was on the farm, he said he was the only white person that was a farm worker. And eventually he was able to raise money and start his own farm and wanted to bring some of his fellow farm workers to own the farm with them, but they were worried about the risk that would go into it, so he ended up doing it himself.
But he did bring on those people, the farm workers that he had joined with to start this farm, whose knowledge he wanted to have as part of his farm, that they would work towards at least everyone having a house. And it We were in South Africa when Nelson Mandela died.
Oh.
And we were with this farmer the day before he died. And it felt really like maybe the people of South Africa were all like sharing their stories of Nelson Mandela.
Uh-huh.
So he told us about the time that he was able to meet this hero. And he was apparently introduced and struck for words. And so Nelson Mandela said, "What do you do?" And he said, "Well, I'm a farmer." And then the incredible thing that Nelson Mandela did, which was he switched into the language of the oppressor, which is Afrikaans, which is, you know, what the enemy of the black people at that time were, the strongest ones were the Afrikaans. And he switched into this man's language and said, "How are our farmers?" And Johan was just unable to speak because here was this man who could have had this hatred towards him. Instead, he asked him about him in his own language. And so we were sitting around his kitchen table tasting these wines, and he told us this story.
We were all crying.
The day before Nelson Mandela died, and we were just like, it was really moving. And the reason he got to meet Nelson Mandela, because he had chosen to include his farm workers and buy them houses as part of their business plan of like having ownership, they were basically in debt and about to go out of business and lose everything.
Really?
And this woman who was organizing an award ceremony for African journalists was looking to buy wine for this huge event. And she happened to show up, going around Stellenbosch, tasting wines, showed up at his farm, and she asked him, you look kind of down. And he explained how he was trying to help his community and provide good living wages as well as homes for these people, but they weren't able to sell their wine. And she proceeded to buy all of their wine for this huge event. And then he goes to the event and meets Nelson Mandela.
This is fairy tale material in many ways. What is the name of his vineyard?
It's his last name.
Yeah, it's Reinecke.
Reinecke. Does he export?
He does, to the East Coast, I think.
It makes sense to support someone like this.
Yeah, it really does.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel Klein and Mira Fine are the creators of theperennialplate.com. Now, for more information on their stories and to see their gorgeous videos, go to the website, splendidtable.org.